Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. It's good to see each of you gathered here. And right now, I'd invite you to take your Bible to the book of Matthew for a scripture, Matthew chapter 7. We're going to begin our reading with verse 7 down through verse 11. We can read together in unison if you would stand together for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. As we continue this morning talking about prayer, a revival of prayer. Pay attention to the prayer and words of Jesus talking about prayer here in Matthew 7. Together on verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated as we continue talking about prayer, a revival of prayer. As we talked a little bit last week from Luke 11, last week we saw that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. What a great teacher Jesus is. No greater teacher in the matter of prayer. And so, as we see Jesus talking here in another passage about prayer, it's good for us to take heed and to consider the truths of which he shares about the very important matter of prayer. You know, prayer is something so simple that even a child can learn to do it, and yet so vital that even a mature Christian cannot thrive without it. Prayer. And as we see here, Jesus simply says in such basic terms, ask, verse 7, Matthew 7, verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. The idea of Jesus' words here are keep asking. It's in the present tense. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and it shall be opened. God wants us to seek him. God wants us to depend on him. He doesn't want us to just pray once, as it were, and then never touch that need again. He wants us to come. He wants us to lift up our needs. How many times we minimize prayer? How many times we go on struggling without properly praying and working through those things? How many times we worry in such vivid detail, but yet don't pray with detail, but rather vague? God wants us to make much of prayer. Make much of prayer. That's point number one. Make much of prayer. Prayer is a privilege. We need to make a big deal of it. It should be a priority. Make much of prayer. Notice Jesus says here in verse 8 of Matthew 7, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What a promise. And he goes on to illustrate the goodness of God. And he says, or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil, as sinners that we are, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Can you read that with me? How much more. Let's say it again. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that, next two words, ask him. You see, God is telling us that there are needs that will go unmet. There are fish that will not be given. There is bread that will not come if we don't ask. Prayer is not a senseless, useless ritual, but prayer is vital in God's design to the supply of our needs and to do his work. Prayer is essential. We cannot thrive without it. We cannot do God's work minimizing it. Prayer is like a vast bank account from which, sadly, we write few checks. Someone described prayer as a gold mine from which we only haphazardly dig. A revival of prayer is needful. And so, number one, make much of prayer. Would you say that with me? Make much of prayer. Again, make much of prayer. It's a simple start. Make prayer important, because it is, and it is vital. Secondly, we saw last week that we need to block out distractions. Block out distractions. So often, when we pray, at least in my own human experience, which is the one I've had, in my own human experience, you know, so often I find distractions that come, whether in your thoughts, whether in from a device, whether from other family members, that can hinder, and that time of even a few minutes is shortened because we get distracted, we get restless, we get off track. And so it's important to find a quiet place. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus instructed in talking about prayer, he said to not be like the hypocrites that pray to be seen and heard of men in verse 5, Matthew 6, verse 5. He says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. Read those next words with me. That they may be seen of men, the distraction of what others think. Now, public prayer, God is not against, that's for sure. His house is to be a house of prayer and all of those things. But God is saying that the most important prayer is not public prayer, and it's certainly not to be seen or heard of men. But you know what? Public prayer, although it has its place and it's right in certain settings, not as a hypocrite. That's not the right way. We're not supposed to be pray to be seen or heard of men. But that doesn't negate all public prayer, because we can pray publicly with an honest and true heart to our Father and not for men. But we want to notice what Jesus is getting at is that he is saying we need to get rid of that distraction of what others think, or trying to get the approval of others. Because you know what? How real are you with God privately? We can develop this idea of I need to use big words and be flowery and go through these repetitions even or whatever, that we get into those things because of how people will hear us and, you know, what they think of us. But you know what? God says prayer is about a private conversation with your Father. Notice verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, which the closet, by definition, is a storeroom or an inner room, inner chamber, a secret place. The closet. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And God goes further and says, when thou hast shut thy door, he's very clear. Pray to thy Father, which is in, next word, secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Prayer is something to do personally with God. So block out distractions, the distractions of what others think, the distractions of everything going on. Spend quality time with your Heavenly Father. Sometimes devotions and prayer time is called quiet time, having quiet time with God. And that is good. In the noise of this world, oh, how much we need quiet time with God. When phones are put away, when we have nothing but our Bible and a notebook, perhaps, that we can and a pencil, so we can jot down some things, so that we can have some prayer requests that we're seeking the Lord for and keeping record of those things. But blocking out distractions, or if something comes to your mind when you're praying and you're like, oh, I need to do that. I need to write a card to that person, or I don't want to forget about that assignment. You can just simply jot that down so that you can just put that away and I'll get to that later, right? So that we're not thinking, boy, I don't want to forget about that, but that we are simply making a notation and moving on so that we can focus. So block out distractions. So number one, make much of prayer. Secondly, block out distractions. Focus. And number three, be specific and practical. We can see here in Matthew 7, as Jesus talks about prayer, and this is not the only location where he uses similar language, but he says that when we pray, he says, if one of your children asks for bread, or if he asks for a fish, you know, what are you going to give him? For bread, are you going to give him a stone? For fish, are you going to give him a snake? Well, of course not. We know how to give good gifts. But I want you to notice Jesus talking about specific things. In another passage, which we'll go to, why don't we head over there right now, to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11, noticing verse 5. Luke 11 and verse 5. We see in this passage Jesus sharing a story here, sharing an illustration about prayer and how to be consistent in prayer. And he talks about a friend that goes to ask for 3 loaves. Not 4, not 2, 3 loaves of bread. And the loaves that they had back in that day was probably more similar to buns, like we would have today, to rolls or something like that, something smaller, a smaller item of bread. But you know what? He asked for something specific, and we'll read that in a moment here. But I also want you to notice in his talk here, he talked about even an egg, verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? We need to be specific in our prayer, specific and practical. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, James says. When we pray, what are we asking for? When we pray, are we so vague that we wouldn't know if God did answer, right? It's important for us to be specific, to verbalize our needs. You know, with a few Bible college students here today, I remembered, as I was studying a little more last night, I remembered my Bible college days. And I remember there were times when funds were pretty tight. I remember when, you know, trying to get those school bills paid for room, board, and tuition and all of those things. And I remember the need yet to, you know, do other things like get a haircut from time to time. And I remember specifically one time where I was absolutely out of money. And I didn't have any money to my name. And I needed a haircut. And of course, I could have, I suppose, you know, borrowed or bartered. Or, in fact, I had a fellow student just down the hall that usually would cut my hair. and I paid him $5. That's what he charged. That was something he did for several different students, and I had done that many times, and of course I gave him $5 every time, and he was happy, and I was happy, and I could have asked him to cut it without, you know, I didn't have any money, I'll get you next time, or whatever. I suppose I could arrange something like that, but I remember praying, and I was like, Lord, you'll take care of me. You said that you'd provide for my needs, and I need a haircut. It's getting long, and so I simply prayed, and that week for a day or two, it wasn't even that long, maybe 3 days at the most, I had prayed, Lord, would you provide $5 so I can get my haircut? I didn't tell anybody else but my Heavenly Father. I didn't pray out loud. I didn't ask that in prayer group. Nothing like that. But a student, not in my room, but just on my floor, and not the guy who cuts my hair, but a different student. I don't even remember what student. But there was just a student that came to me one day, saw me in the hall, and he gave me $5. I'm serious. He gave me $5. And I don't remember the reason he gave. And I didn't argue too much with him. But he gave me $5. And I was dumbfounded. And I thanked him, and I knew God supplied my need. How many times do we pray for specific things, practical things? God wants us to be specific. He says if your son asks for an egg, what do you give him? Do you give him a scorpion? No, you give him an egg. What did he ask for? An egg. How many times have you asked for an egg? How many times have you asked for a loaf of bread? How many times have you asked for victory over this specific stronghold in your life? You see, God wants us to be specific, to pray for specific things. I can think of many illustrations as I think of being specific in prayer. I know that for the jail ministry, for example, Tuesday nights, I drive up to Rugby, and most of the time in the year, especially in the winter months, it's in the dark, certainly going, but certainly coming home. And there's deer on that road. And I've prayed time and time again as I start my journey, you know, Lord, protect me from the deer. My eyesight isn't what it should be. My eyes are about 20/40, and at night, they're even worse. And so I probably shouldn't be driving at night. But you know what? No, I'm okay, but God takes, because my Father takes care of me. But you know what? My eyesight isn't that keen and that good for spotting deer, for example. But, and you know, next week God may want me to hit one. I don't know, but I'm going to trust my Father, okay? But you know what? Since 2006, I've been driving to Rugby, to the jail there on Tuesday evenings. And I have never once hit a deer, although I've seen many dead deer. I've seen live deer that were close calls. I've helped several other people that just hit a deer. And I've helped them. And so lots of things like that. And listen, God has answered those prayers. There's been times, yes, I've had really close calls. And wow, thank you, Lord. You know? Now, does that mean that a Christian will never hit a deer? It certainly does not. Sometimes, just like we talked about the Bradleys, missionaries in Ecuador, God allowed a tragic accident. So, but listen, sometimes we're so vague in our prayer that we don't know to thank God afterwards, because we're just so bless the missionaries, you know, help me to have a good day, kind of prayers that are so vague. But God wants us to be specific and practical. If we need an egg, let's ask for an egg. He knows how to give good gifts. Now, sometimes God gives us different things than what we're looking for. I remember here just a month ago praying as my wife and Michael were going to go off to Fargo for the week, right at the beginning of his feeding school therapy. And they were going to take our van that has 212,000 miles on it, and it was cold, among other things. It was very cold, sub-zero temperatures back there in January, and I was concerned for their well-being. I checked out the van, you know, made sure all the fluids were fine, and all of that, and I felt that it was checked over, they were supposed to leave Sunday afternoon that week, and I had prayed that God would help the van to run well and keep them safe in the cold, and that Sunday morning, I was going to drive the van just over to the church here, and that Sunday morning, the van wouldn't start. And it started just fine in cold temperatures, not being plugged in many other mornings of that same week, earlier week or whatever, right? That morning, dead as a doornail. Well, I shouldn't say dead as a doornail. It kind of, it did the old little bit. And I couldn't find anything that was left on. But the battery was no good. And so I can see that God provided so that I would have, I'm thankful. It was an answer to prayer that my wife wasn't out on the road somewhere when the battery gave way. And I realized the battery was about 6 years old. And so it was certainly time to replace it. But up until then, the battery worked just fine, even in cold weather, right? But just before they left, they were going to leave late just that Sunday afternoon. That Sunday morning, it wouldn't start. Now, I had prayed that God would take care of them, that the van would run well and all of that. And God said, hey, there's one more thing you need to check before they go, right? And God answered my prayer in keeping them safe. And they had no issue, even though they were there for several weeks in all with no issues. And I'm really thankful for that. And so those are blessings. All right. God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we think, but we do need to pray specifically and rest in our Father's care. Rest in our Father's care. I want to share a story from Hudson Taylor as he was sailing to China as a missionary. His ship was in danger, the ship he was on, and the wind had completely died down, and the current was carrying them toward sunken reefs, which were close to islands inhabited by cannibals. So close, they could see them building fires on the shore. Everything they tried was to no avail. In his journal, Hudson recorded what happened next. The captain of the ship said to me, "Well, we have done everything we can do." A thought occurred to me, and I replied, "No, there is one thing that we have not yet done." "What is that?" he queried. "Four of us on board are Christians. Let us each retire to our own cabin and in agreed prayer ask the Lord to give us an immediate breeze." Taylor prayed briefly and then, certain that the answer was coming, went up on the deck and asked the first officer to let down the sails. "What would be the good of that?" he roughly answered. I told him that we had been asking for a wind from God and that it was coming. Within minutes, the wind began to blow and it carried them away from danger. And Taylor wrote, "Thus God encouraged me ere landing on China's shore to bring me every variety of need to him in prayer, and to expect that he would honor the name of the Lord Jesus and give the help each emergency required." Our prayers touch the heart of a loving Heavenly Father. He can meet our need. Do we ask? You know, the Bible says here, if we ask, ask, Jesus said, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. How many trials do we face without, "Lord, Lord, I need this. Lord, and if this is not, if I'm missing something here, I yield myself to you. But Lord, this would be a blessing. This would be a help." Be specific and practical in your prayer. If you need a fish, ask for a fish. Your Heavenly Father cares. There's another story here about a missionary in Zaire. And they had a medical emergency to wherein a mother was giving birth and died in childbirth, and the baby was very premature. And they tried to improvise in what to try to keep the child alive, try to create an incubator there. And there were some things they needed, such as a hot water bottle, which would have been a big help, and some things like that. And so one of the children began to pray. And she prayed for this little baby, and the baby had a sister. Of course, the mother had died here. Prayed that God would supply that water bottle that they needed. Today, the little girl prayed. Tomorrow will be too late. She also said in her prayer, please give a baby doll for the little baby's sister to cheer her up in the loss of her mother. In Jesus' name, amen. Later on that day, to their surprise, the postman delivered a package that was sent and compiled months earlier that contained other items, but also a hot water bottle. Just what they needed. And a baby doll. The little girl knew her Heavenly Father had answered her prayer. Prayer is critical. Make much of prayer. Block out distractions. So many distractions that will hinder us from giving quality time to God in prayer. We must find ways to put them aside. Be specific and practical in your prayer. And lastly, today, number four, be persistent and yielded as you wait on God. Be persistent and yielded as you wait on God. Prayer isn't about us demanding what we want. No. It's about His name. Remember when Jesus taught about prayer here in Luke 11, He said, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Thy name, Thy will, Thy kingdom. It's not my kingdom, Lord. Thy kingdom. Your name. Truly praying in Jesus' name is not trying to get my way, but rather to get what we believe is right and good to do His work. Be persistent and yielded as you pray. Notice here, briefly in this point, we can see in verse 5, we're in Luke 11, notice verse 5. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Jesus, again, here's teaching on prayer, answering the disciples' question. And He said, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within, verse 7, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. As Jesus tells the story, he paints the friend, the picture of this friend as he's settled in, it's late. You know, if he gets up, the children are going to be disturbed. And this neighbor friend says, you know, it's too late. Come back tomorrow. Or, you know, it's just an inconvenience. Well, what does, and Jesus is the one teaching here, and he explains, what does that neighbor in need do? The neighbor who had the friend come to him, and he doesn't have any bread, he doesn't have anything to set before him, and they're hungry, maybe came on a long journey. What does that man do? Does he take no for an answer here at the door? No. Friend, go away. You're going to wake my children up. Don't mean to inconvenience you, but could we borrow 3 loaves? He doesn't understand. We need the bread. Right? Isn't that what Jesus says? That's what he says. That's how we should pray. Right? We shouldn't just say, oh, well. We should, if it's a need, if we believe it's right. Now, sometimes God shows us, hey, you know, your prayer request isn't what is pleasing to me. Our Heavenly Father is good, and he gives good gifts, and he knows what we need ultimately. So we need to yield, but we also need to be persistent. And Jesus teaches this persistence. Notice verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. The friendship relationship wasn't strong enough for the man to inconvenience himself and perhaps wake his children up to get some bread. Maybe they were snuggled, you know, but the importunity made the difference. The man realized, hey, this neighbor ain't going away. And so, middle of verse 8, yet because of his importunity, importunity is not a word we use every day, and it means continual, consistent asking. It won't give up. Continual, consistent asking. And he says, Jesus says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And that's how God says we should pray. With persistence. How is your prayer life? Are you making much of prayer? Are you blocking out distractions so that you can focus and give the time and the attention that is needful to talk to your Father? Are you specific or so vague that if God answered, you wouldn't know? God wants our prayers to be specific and practical. And lastly, be persistent and yielded as you wait on God. Persistent and yielded. If God shows you that your request is wrong, accept that for what it is. If God reveals to you that it's a no because it's not his will, then you need to accept that. Your Father knows best. But for so many times, we just give up and we fail. Fail to keep seeking, keep knocking. How is your prayer life? A revival of prayer is needful. Heavenly Father, thank you that you hear us. Thank you that you love us. And even though you know all of our needs, even better than we do, you've still designed for good purpose that prayer is vital. And that so many of the needs and trials will not be met if we don't pray, if we don't ask. You respond to the asking, to the crying, to the needs of your children when they trust you to meet those needs. You respond to faith. Lord, help us to recognize the vital importance of prayer if we are to thrive and to do your will. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.